Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Connect with the Matt and Ramona Showcast via Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at 1079thelink.com.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Hey, freakos. Thanks again for being here. The Matt and Ramona Off Air podcast. If you love it, you should rate it and comment and definitely share it. Any comments you have about the program, you can go to the Matt and Ramona Facebook page or Matt Harris or Ramona Holloway. We've got plenty of things to talk about today. The survey about moms buying gifts for themselves for Mother's Day coming up, Ramona's encounter with a wild animal. We begin with my adventure race. Dun, dun, dun.
But you may or may not be sick of hearing.
Epic adventure race. If you're sick of it, then you're sick of it. I try not to talk about it too much. I'm always weird about talking about this stuff because I'm like, yeah, people care. I don't be like I'm bragging because I'm not really bragging because I'm not that great.
No, believe me. No one thinks you're bragging.
It was
not the way you do it. Like if you were like, and then I finished first, dude.
Oh yeah, that's true.
First.
Never that.
You didn't even think you'd finished.
Right. It's a 24-hour race. It's somewhere around 100 miles. And you also have to get checkpoints throughout, which are off the trails and that sort of thing. And you no GPS, no phone. You got to navigate. And
you did this as a team.
As a poor person team. My wife and Kristen and Mark, my friends. Kristen just ran a 50-mile race not too long ago. Mark's good at everything. My wife just ran a big, and then there's me.
So you were that guy who got on the team because your wife is Amy.
Yes. Yes. But okay. I was good for some hijinks and hilarity.
and a lot of complaining from what I hear.
A little bit. For those that are okay, so we start, you have this little pre-race thing you do, you run around. One thing, they started the race and as we're sitting around in a circle, they're like, all right, how many first-time 24-hour adventure racers? They're like, yay, you know, maybe a third of the people. And then how many people have done 8, 12, or 16? Because they do those too. That's like everybody but us. And he looks over, he's like, so you're starting adventure racing with a 24-hour race. We're like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, dopes.
Did you know that people have starter races to work up?
No.
Or
no.
Okay.
Remember, I hadn't even been on a mountain bike until like January or February. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even canoed more than 3 miles to a bar one time. So it's hiking, mountain biking, hike a bike, canoeing, all this stuff. So within a mile of our first 10-mile hike, which was like the first or second leg, Amy sprains her ankle.
Oh.
And so we wrap it up with some gauze from the first aid kit, or not gauze, for some tape. And we're like, all right, move along. Well, whenever the end of the race was, 24 hours later, 30 hours later, or if we took a picture of her and put it on Facebook, picture of her ankle, and you saw it, it's pretty beefy.
It looks pretty
She's
bad.
Tough. She is tough. So we hiked that, but then we got in the canoe, which we got very wet. So it helped her ankle probably because her foot was numb. So that could have worked well. These were class 3 and 4 rapids. People were tipping over all over the place. We went sideways at one point and we're yelling at each other, cursing at each other. She's like, straight, straight. I'm like, try to go straight. You're the steerer. I'm not the steerer. We're just yelling at each other. But we take out a ton of water.
Are all four of you in the same canoe?
No, two separate canoes with two
separate
people.
Canoes.
They were having a hard time too. They had never canoed before and they were having a rough time. I thought they were going down. But we both took on a lot of water. So we had to get off on this island, dump our water out. Now our stuff's wet, which we hadn't planned on. So now we're cold, blah, blah, blah. Look for some check marks, get back in the canoe, go to the end. And at that point you have an exchange zone where we can get out of our wet gear, but we didn't really plan on being that wet. So our backpack is still wet, which we've got to carry on the mountain biking. So we begin the mountain biking and I had worked forever on the lights and the batteries. And I don't know what happened, but they kept going out. So we had to stop, put them on. And thank God I charged them, but I'm just bitching the whole time.
Oh, I know you are.
Because
that's who you are.
Yes. It's not like I tried to explain to them. I'm not really bitching.
You're
just saying things.
You're a chronic complainer.
Well, I think I'm a blurter.
Or a noticer of things you don't agree with. How's that? You don't want to be called a chronic complainer.
No.
You're just a noticer of things that you don't like.
Like, this sucks. And like 3 in the morning, I started to get just fed up. I was about done. I had it. 4 in the morning, I'm like, 2.5 hours, we'll have light. I can do this. It gets to 6:30, the sun comes up, and Amy says, oh, let's stop and look at the sunset. And I bleeped her out. Like, I am not bleeping, stopping to look at a damn sunset. I need to get to the end. And so I think I'm close. I think I'm like 10 miles away. I get to this. I find a guy who is sleeping on his bike, laying down. Like, a bike's between his legs, and he's laying down. His helmet's the pillow. I'm like, how much further, dude? He says, I think you got like 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours? I'm never going to make it. So then I was bitching a lot at that point. But here's the bit. It's not really bitching.
At any point, did Amy address your complaining?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, first
because
of all,
she doesn't suffer your negativity well.
Yeah, no. Like, at one point with her busted ankle, I'm like, I got something stuck in my teeth. I can't even focus.
She's like, and she had rolled her ankle.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my gosh. Yes. I believe last night's chicken is wedged between horrible. My molars. How could I even do this race?
My partner's a dentist. So he was ready at the ready with the floss to help me out. So, but I do this kind of thing. Like, when I'm walking, like, I'm hiking this bike through streams that are deep and cold and mud and giant boulders. So you can't really ride the bike. And I go like, bleep, shoot, beep, bleep, bleep. And I'm like, everybody, that's not really complaining. It's just what I do.
And, thanks like, for making it so pleasant, Matt Man.
And I'm in the back. She comes back and she goes, you know, that's really bad for morale. And I'm like, geez, I can't help it. I'm a blurter. It helps me when I go,
like, I don't care if I bring other people down. This is just how I am.
I feel better when I'm going like, God, will you hear me on the show when the mic's on?
Everyone's not used to it.
And I know. And you
everyone's
hear me, like,
not used to someone just firing off a stream of expletives that even make sense.
They heard them.
And they're like, whoa, what's wrong with that guy? He's just noticing things he doesn't like and cursing about it. Okay. Yeah.
I said, nothing personal, everybody. When I go bleep, 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 but just, I'm just getting myself pumped up.
Sure. I can encourage others and maybe sing a song, but I'm not going to do that.
Next time I won't do it. My bike shorts started busting a sag. So they were down to my knees. So I couldn't get on my bike very well because you have to lift your leg up high. My leg hurt. So I'm like, and they take off. I'm like, hey, slow down up there. I got
my
a low
bike
crotch.
Shorts are sagging.
I got a low crotch.
You bleepers.
You bleepers. And so finally we ride down and we think that we're disqualified because we took this road. We thought the road was off limits. Turns out, so we just walk in and we're like, we don't even want to run a run down where the finish line is. I refuse to even go down it because it's a fraud. And so we're like, here's our key to show you that we're done. And we're like, what are you doing? You finished. We're like, what? We went on this road. No, that was, it's fine. We're like, hey, finished. And so I felt good after that. I'm ready to do another.
So you
had
to complete it in 24 hours, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And what was your time?
Like 23:45 or something. But then you also get points for each checkpoint you find through navigation. We got like 15 of those. So we could have gone 24 hours and 15 minutes. So it's a lot weird how they score. It doesn't matter. The point was, it's our very first one. We consider it recon. That's what a woman told us when we were lost. We said, I said, we suck at this. But the other people were like, we can do this. I'm like, we suck at this. She goes, just count it as recon. It's like a dress rehearsal. Okay. So now my wife has one line. She's looking at one where now she wants me to learn how to rappel. So the next one will be like canoeing, hiking, mountain biking, rappelling.
I just have this feeling that Amy has a great life insurance policy.
I know. What's wrong with her?
I can't stop feeling like that.
I can't. I don't know. I think I can do better. I have to do better next time. I told him, I promise I won't yell next. Cry.
Sure.
I don't really cry.
Sure.
I'd like to
have him call me.
I know.
Have him call me.
I know. Maybe they should put earplugs in. It's on them, really. So there's the tale. There you have it. Your mom, Wheezy, believes that she has a husband.
Yeah.
And explain to people, you know,
well,
why
first of
she
all,
thinks
you have
that.
To understand that my mom has dementia. And a friend of ours has been staying and helping us out a couple of nights a week. And she's a friend from way back. We went to high school together. We were besties in high school. So my mom has known Vicky since Vicky was 15, 16 years old. So when Vicky is here, she just dotes on mom. Mom, can I get you something? Mom. And my mom loves it, loves her. And the other night when we were sitting at the table, I told mom it was time to go to bed. And she said, okay, I'm going up to spend the night with my husband. Like, you have a husband?
Wow.
And I assumed it was someone who she met at the Life Enrichment Center because she's been going to that day program. And I asked her about her husband. You know, is he handsome? Oh, yes. You know, she's so, you know, like, maybe she's talking about my stepdad. Well, for Easter, Vicky gave mom a picture of the two of them, and mom has it sitting on our kitchen table right in front of where she eats. So I said, well, I don't know what to do with this information about you having a husband. Like, where do I go? Where do I fit in? Mom's like, I don't know.
Don't
I said,
care.
Well, am I just supposed to live here? And she's like, no, probably not.
You got to move. She wants you to move.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, well, who is your husband? And then she points and she goes, look, and she points at the picture of her and Vicky.
Oh,
so I was like, yes. That's your husband? She goes, oh, yeah. So then I said, well, oh, OK, well, and she said, well, I'm going upstairs now because Vicky had already actually gone upstairs to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, we don't do the stairs. Like, that's a rule in our house. No stairs. The stairs are very dangerous. So I go to let the dog out. And I think mom is making her way back toward her bedroom. But I hear this noise on the stairs. Mom has grabbed her cup of Snapple and she's heading upstairs to spend time with her husband.
So she
gets up, you know, in her Walmart plush nightgown. So she gets to the top of the stairs and Vicky's like, you know, hey, mom, what are you doing? She's like, I'm here for the night. So we get her back downstairs, one of us in front of her, the other one in back of her, you know, to try to get her downstairs safely. And I have now taken the picture down. We put the picture away.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to keep mom focused and to keep her downstairs when she thinks her husband might be upstairs.
Oh, so she is.
So I don't know if this is with dementia, you don't know what's going on. Like, does she remind her of someone? Does my mom has she always had lesbian energy? Yeah, I don't know what's happening in her dementia brain.
Maybe
I just know that it is imperative to keep her off of the stairs and away from her husband because it's weird for my friend.
And probably weird for you. Although your friend might take over the life insurance policy. So you have to be aware of that. She could be the spouse and it could be, of course, there's probably not a lot to go with right there, but don't worry about that. You have that going on and you have alleged wild animals in your neighborhood, which, you know, a lot of people have wild animals in their neighborhood, but you are extra because of the fact that you hate squirrels. You're just not an outdoorsy.
No, it's not about hatred.
Person.
It's about respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
My neighbors have been sending text messages back and forth about this fox in the neighborhood. And I have noticed that the stray cats that were in my neighborhood have disappeared.
You probably like that. You don't like
that. Well,
cats.
Not knowing that they could have been eaten by a wild animal, that same wild animal, now that the cats are gone, is still in need of food. That was yesterday's meal. So now I'm afraid to take my dog out. And I'm also afraid for myself.
Well, if your dog's on a leash, you're not going to come up and take it off your hands. Not gonna take Henri, right? They're not gonna come get the dog if it's on your leash.
I let him out in back of my house, not on the leash.
You do have to be a little careful of that now, I guess.
So I have to hover over him, and then suppose the animal comes after him, then what do I do? And people are like, they won't attack a human.
No,
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. These animals are desperate. We have
They're not desperate.
Yes, they are.
They'll
Why do you think these
desperate.
Foxes and coyotes are coming into urban areas? Why do you think they're hanging out in neighborhoods? Because we have pretty much destroyed their habitat. We've taken away their homes. We've disrupted their families, and now they're angry and hungry.
They'll move.
We don't know what they're going to do. You can't say
that
they're not going to take a human out of the game.
Yes, I can.
We just haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
just last week, there was a video of a bobcat trying to take down a grown woman in her driveway.
Well, There's so many factors.
Because these animals are angry and desperate.
You really think coyotes and foxes are going to start attacking people? When does this happen? What year or month? Is it any minute now? When am I supposed to be
worried? When I first started warning you about coyotes, you doubted there were coyotes near the radio station.
No, I would say you doubted it.
And then all of a sudden, the people at WBTV started taking videos, and then one giant coyote showed up and hung out in the station parking lot because he smelled the animals from the live nativity scene at the TV station having an interview. And there was a warning like, hey, be careful. I'm telling you right now, these animals can't be expected to starve with tasty humans like me walking around all willy-nilly. It's going
to
happen.
They don't think they're not going to be able to take you. They're going to be like, you're too big. I can't take you. They're not.
That's why they call a friend like, hey,
I spotted
some dark meat over in Belmont Village. No. I can't take it by myself, but you, me and Gus.
When is it going to happen? Do you have an approximate time? Because coyotes have been around for decades and they aren't attacking people. So this is suddenly going to happen?
Yet.
Okay. All right.
It's always a yet with these animals.
You call me when that happens.
And the sound that this thing makes. And some people are saying it's just a fox. It's a gigantic fox. I think it might be a coyote or some kind of hybrid animal. We don't know what's out there.
Hybrid animal. It's on the Facebook page of Matt and Muddy. You can see it. But I told you the incredible sounds I heard when those coyotes were doing it in my backyard or, in my backwoods. Pretty crazy. Your sound was gentle compared to that.
That's just blood-curdling screams.
Mother's Day is coming up. And 84% of women have bought their own gifts for holidays, like birthday, Christmas, Valentine's Day. Half have bought for their self for Mother's Day. And I'm okay with that. But 10% of people who aren't even moms will buy themselves a Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
Why are you buying yourself a Mother's Day gift?
Because I do all the things that a mom does.
But they can't just be called a gift? I mean, buying yourself for yourself?
Because when I go to church with my mom on Mother's Day, I am wished happy Mother's Day by everybody.
Well, can't you
and then I say, oh, I'm not a mom. And they say, well, happy Mother's Day anyway. And then we go out to brunch somewhere and everybody wishes me happy Mother's Day. And then I stop at the grocery store on my way home and I get happy Mother's Day. So I'm like, you know what? I do some mothering at work. I do some mothering in the community and I do some mothering in my own family. So I'm going to get myself a gift because nobody else is.
But why isn't that just buying? Like I buy myself stuff and I don't call it a gift. I just say I just bought something for myself. I don't go on my birthday.
But when I buy something for myself for Mother's Day or let's say for my birthday, it's something that I wouldn't normally buy. I probably pay a little bit more because I don't splurge on myself. But Mother's Day gives us an opportunity to say, you know what? I deserve
this. But you can do it anytime you want. You can just deserve it anytime.
But this gives us an occasion. And because we are martyrs, do it at any time.
Do you wrap it? Do you wrap it?
I don't wrap it. I don't wrap it.
That'd be too much.
Yeah. Like that gives me extra work. I don't need the extra work.
Almost half of women say that they give their gift or more than that, 60% they buy the gift and they give it to their husband or their kids to give back to them.
Yeah, I have a friend whose husband has given her a credit card just for gifting.
To me, that's just go buy it. Why go to the hoops of saying, here, I'm going to give it to you. Now you give it back to me. I don't understand that. This is what I got myself. Be done with it.
It's called ritual.
Ritual, schmitual. And and the problem I have here is, they serve it about them giving, hints. And I think hints are great, but I think you should do more. Now you should straight up tell us what you want. The 57% say they do tell them exactly what they want. 64% do the subtle route. 38% make the preferences known before being asked. Some women send direct links. This is what I want. I like that. I like that a lot. And then there's 12% of women.
So how do you decide what you're going to get for your wife for Mother's Day?
At the last minute, I panic and I ask my oldest, did she mention anything lately? that I can remember.
Thank God for daughters.
I know. 12% of women say they won't talk about gifts and they believe their loved one should already know what they like. They're the worst, those people. Those women are the worst.
After you've been with someone and probably drop hints, and you see what she 12%. Wears and what she drinks and what she eats and where she likes to go,
just
get her hair done.
Know.
You know, you have all kinds of hints all around you.
Yeah, but thank God it's only 12%.
Just try thoughtfulness. Just give it a try.
But we might mess up. So just tell us. 42% have been disappointed in a gift they received from their husband or kids.
Yeah.
It's higher. It's got to be higher. They're just afraid to say so. Gotta be higher.
It's the thought that counts.
No, it's not. I mean, it can be, but
unless
be,
you've spent way too much money on something, then I have to, dude.
But it's the thought that counts, and you can be disappointed. You can be disappointed and be like, well, but it's a thought. But you can still be disappointed, right? All right. Thanks for hanging with the podcast. Love it. Share it, please. And also comment and write us on Facebook Messenger, Matt and Ramona Show, Matt Harris, Ramona Holloway, all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you soon.